This is the beginning of Cosmic Fire webinar commentaries number 19B, and we're working with a compilation which has all the pertinent references, or most of them anyway, the Paths of Higher Evolution compilation, and we're on page 43. Well, we've been dealing with the a chakra in the one about whom not may be said, whither those upon the path of absolute sonship gravitate. It is the most potent constellation as far as our system is concerned, owing to the fact that this system predominantly expresses love or attractive energy. And our logos is polarized in his cosmic astral body. Well, we're not supposed to, you know, he's not hinting at that. We can speculate, of course, but our speculations don't mean anything, really, because, you know, no hint has been given. Something with a strong cosmic Christ aspect to it, obviously Sirius has this, and from some perspectives, so does Orion. And from another perspective, so does the little bear. The little bear is the, well, the little bear is the son, that's for sure. The son of the father. Ursa Minor is the son of the father, who is the great, great bear. That's one thing, and there is an Ajna connection here. A fifth ray connection, and also a second ray connection. Sirius has similar energies, but the path to Sirius seems to involve the cosmic astral plane especially. Cosmic astral plane. I don't, and then there's always, of course, Orion, which some think has a very strong love energy connected with it. As a kind of heart center of the whole. But that remains to be debated, whether it connects with the solar plexus or with the heart, or actually, like Venus, with both. The Venus decanate of the Venus decanate of Taurus can also have a constellational association with Orion, at least by some decanate assignments of extra zodiacal. The extra zodiacal constellations. I've been through that in discussing Taurus. So he's warning us about meditating upon certain constellations with a certain kind of intent. We could attract great love energy into our system and thus speed up the process of evolution upon our planet. We would normally think, well, you know, love is always a good energy to attract. But timing is necessary and not imbalance. We see this in many ways, you know, some young people, older people, whatever, are imbalanced because some factor within them is prematurely developed and it upsets their entire relation with life. A balanced development is better. So people do not yet realize the potency of meditation, and especially of group meditation. The zodiacal sign concerned is Gemini, and the reason will be apparent to all trained initiates. But, you know, we have, well, speculating here, we have the interplay between polarities. and a great love energy, and yet the energy of mind. So we deal with electricity between the poles. Electricity as it manifests between the poles, which are exemplified constellationally by Gemini. So we have to be trained initiates to see and ascertain this and confirm it for sure. But this is, there is a relationship established here. And of course, look at the fourth unmanifested creative hierarchy. First, fourth, unmanifested creative hierarchy, fourth, okay. So it is ruled by Gemini, and it has this rosy light connected with it, and it is about the relationship between the poles. The power of attraction is very, very strong in Gemini between the poles. There's so many factors which could condition this type of work, the purpose of which is to bring the poles together in the right way. I mean, think about the law of attraction in relation to Gemini. Think about the law of attraction in relation to Gemini. Very strong. So, and we see here, you know, Venus as the esoteric ruler has both ray 5 and ray 2, the two ray energies which are particularly associated with this this path. Fifth, manifested creative hierarchy. Okay, that's the fifth. So the fifth unmanifested creative hierarchy. I see how we go. Okay, so the fourth unmanifested creative hierarchy. Fifth unmanifested creative hierarchy. So we just need to do it this way. Fifth unmanifested, fourth unmanifested creative hierarchy. And fourth unmanifested creative hierarchy. We may have occasion to refer to it again. You never know. So there are, I've reviewed this idea of the second path and a certain creative hierarchy on the cosmic astral plane where those who work on the path of magnetic work labor. And there is quite a strong connection. Now, later we're going to learn that other constellations come into play. So far from cosmic fire, we've learned that Libra, with its strong third ray, and yet connection with indigo, comes into play on the first path, the path of Earth service. Here we learn that Gemini, with its powerful connection to the law of attraction and suggesting the electrical interplay between the poles, comes into effect in this on this path, which is working with Fohat and specifically in manipulating the electrical interplay between poles for the purpose of form building, attraction, and eventual synthesis. A word is here necessary in explanation of the expression used earlier in connection with the passing of adepts from off this second path onto the seventh path. It is stated that they alchemize themselves onto it. You know, so some is the seventh ray involved here. Some idea as to the meaning of this phrase may be gained from a consideration of the purposes of heat when divorced from moisture, and of the method of employing such heat. This sounds like one of the alchemical formulas that we encountered in a treatise on cosmic fire earlier. Remember the alchemical formulas concerning heat and moisture in the treatise on cosmic fire. The adepts use the dry alchemical fires to produce the results they desire in aiding the evolutionary process. The astral plane in relation to which they work is very wet. It is the plane of liquid. So they must use some sort of possibly the dynamic of evaporation in an occult sense is involved here. As they use these dry fires, the reaction upon themselves is such that they transmute the electrical spark or the monad within the flame of the planetary life, within the monad of the planetary logos, or, well, not exactly, you know, possibly, but at least they are sparks hanging from the flame. We remember that the monads are sparks hanging from the flame by a filament. It's not exactly a filament, but I'll use that word, filament of Fohat, and break it up in such a manner that it can pass through the systemic etheric web and on to that stream of energy emanating from the constellation mentioned above. Well, this is extremely occult. I don't see how we can go much further with it. There is required, I think, a disengagement and a, let's call it a dry passage onto this line of constellational energy. There must be some kind of disengagement from the cosmic astral plane, which is required. We remember the logoic head center, but there is one of those on the cosmic astral plane as well. And once a unit has made his way to the cosmic astral plane, is there a need to return to the cosmic physical plane to pass to this other center? And yet it says pass through the systemic etheric web. So maybe there is a need for return. Need for return to the cosmic physical plane in order to pass through the web. And yet they seem to be working from the cosmic astral plane, so they have already passed through the etheric web. Well, I must be missing something here, but this seems to be something of a contradiction, or at least something that we have to think about with some caution. Anyway, this is a highly alchemical paragraph. They alchemize themselves onto it, and I suppose in the relationship between heat and moisture, we have to find the solution. The purposes of heat when divorced from moisture is usually to evaporate the moisture. The method of employing such heat, if the moisture is evaporated, can they pass on to that stream coming from the particular constellation we are talking about? This constellation must lead employing the heat. They alchemize themselves onto it, and here we are down here. This cosmic stream of energy emanating from the constellation mentioned above, this path must lead after the work with the path of magnetic work to the cosmic mental plane, because the path of absolute sonship leads to the cosmic mental plane, which is relatively dry. Well, we have no idea really what that means in a cosmic sense, but it's something about the way matter aggregates. It's something about the adhesiveness. So they are bring up a certain adhesiveness between units of matter, which would prevent them from passing through and beyond. Now, I still haven't got a reasonable idea as to why, when working from the cosmic astral plane on the path of magnetic work, they should have to return to an etheric logoic head center. Don't want to give up here. Let's just say that these are things which the adepts themselves would have to ponder in some very careful way to understand what they had to do and what the implications are of treading this path. So they transmute the electrical spark or the monad within the flame of planetary life and break it up in such a manner that it can pass through the etheric web. So where is their monad located? If they pass on to the cosmic astral plane, where is their monad located? Who is the they that's passing on to the cosmic astral plane? Anyway, they transmute the electrical spark or the monad within the flame of planetary life and break it up. Break what up? In such a manner that it can pass through the system. Do they break up the adhesions to the spark, to the electrical spark? Electrical spark. Sorry. Do they break up the adhesions to the electrical spark for better passage? Possibly here. As they use these dry fires, the reaction upon themselves is that they transmute the electrical spark or the monad within the flame of the planetary life and break it up. See, what does it mean to break up the electrical spark? There must be something that does not permit passage. Some kind of adhesion, we might say. Something sticking to it. Some stage of the rocket, as it were, that has to be jettisoned. And break it up in such a manner that it can pass through the systemic etheric web and onto that stream of cosmic energy emanating from the constellation above. Well, there are some points here that are very difficult to grasp. We have to establish whether, in fact, the members of this second path are actually, those who pursue the second path are actually working from the cosmic astral plane. If they have, or are, they have to be working as monads. If they're working as monads, the monad has already somehow passed through the etheric web in order to work on that page, on that plane. And the etheric web, systemic etheric web, it exists between the cosmic physical plane and the cosmic astral plane, so it's not as if this web is existing on the cosmic astral plane and they can pass from the cosmic astral plane through the logoic astral head center onto this other stream. That would in some ways be logical because they are working on the cosmic astral. They have to in a way dry out. They have to make the electrical spark passable onto the cosmic mental plane. We have no idea what it takes to make that electrical spark capable of passing onto the cosmic mental plane where the path of absolute sonship is found. But at least maybe I've laid out the problems as they appear. Suffice it to say, alchemy is involved, and they do, after a period of time on the path of magnetic work, gravitate towards the cosmic mental plane. And they are not working, they are still working with respect to our solar system. Now, this is another thing before they pass to that constellation. To be noted, okay? To be noted. It appears that these monads are still working in relation to our solar system, while they are on the path of magnetic work. And only after completing that work, do they pass to another unnamed constellation? Which will take them as electrical sparks to the cosmic mental plane, apparently. I don't think we're just talking about them working. See, the big thing is, if the path of magnetic work does lead to the cosmic astral plane, then as monads they must go to the cosmic astral plane. It's not just a question of remaining somehow in touch with the cosmic astral plane. The problem would be solved if they did not leave the cosmic physical plane to do the path of magnetic work, but stayed on the cosmic physical plane in relation and received cosmic astral energy to do their work. But I do not think this is the case, because the path of magnetic work leads to the cosmic astral plane, and they are treading it and must later go to the cosmic mental plane on the path of absolute sonship. I suppose it's laughable, you know, for someone like myself or any of us as disciples to try to decipher with real accuracy what's going on here, but one has to attempt, one has to stretch into this material and do one's best. One cannot just be driven back in futility and say that it's impossible to think about these things. Otherwise, why would the Tibetan have given them to us? Or maybe he didn't give them to us. Maybe he gave them to those who recognize themselves as high initiates and therefore can interpret. But anyway, it's worth a try. They are known as absolute sparks of parental love. The ones who go to the, or in the exoteric language of the initiates, they pass on to path seven, that of absolute sonship. So these two terms, are related. And this idea of parental love is a big hint. I wish I could say what it relates to. You know, there is a father-mother destination here. And one wonders, well, you know, we cannot say that the Great Bear is a primary source of love energy, even though we do see on, what page is it on? It's chart number 5 in Cosmic Fire. So let's just look there and see what the page number is, you know. I always know that page. Chart 5. I think we have a problem here. View, hidden, page 281, that's not it. Here it is, page 344, that's where it is. So when we're thinking of the Great Bear, we think of the cosmic Manu in Stephen Pugh's terms, we think of a great will energy. Although there is a sub-aspect of love energy that comes from it, we do not think of it as a heart center. But we do think of it as a father. So we need the constellation to which these units pass, these sparks pass, to be a parent. The Great Bear is a parent. Who else is a parent? The Pleiades are a parent. Okay. The Pleiades, too, are a parent. But can we say that the Pleiades are the source of the great love energy? So we have kind of a difficulty here in that those constellations which can be called as parents are not those who are displaying, well, you know, the great law of attraction. Of course, the Pleiades are the great mother, in a sense. And that would be parental love. So those are the things that we must consider. Absolute sparks of parental love. And they, I suppose, become great supervisors of all that goes on below. The sonship really relates to the Great Bear, as far as I can see. That is, we are told that the little bear, I meant to say the little bear is the son, and the Great Bear is the father. So absolute sonship, there is something there that suggests gravitation towards the sun in the polar sky, S-O-N in the polar sky. But the great parents, the father and mother, are the Great Bear and the Pleiades, and they are constituent parts of the one about whom naught may be said, who is this great supervising logos in which our sun and our constellation play their part. So I will just leave those thoughts unassembled, because I cannot, in a reliable manner, assemble them. The attributes which the adept on this path has to possess prior to taking the needed training for the seventh cosmic method of approach. Aha, I think I'm understanding something here. Earlier we talked about methods of approach. Methods of approach are approach to the central spiritual sun by seven or nine means. So the attributes which the adept on this path has to possess prior to training is responsiveness to heat and a knowledge of rhythm. Well, heat stimulates. And raises vibration, and a rhythm may be connected with the seventh path, as it is a, well, this, you know, it's not that we can connect the ray definitely, but the number seven is connected with rhythm. A knowledge of rhythm, you know, that can tell us, rhythm can tell us when to apply certain energies, when to apply certain energies, the great laws of karmic cycles may here be involved. Okay. These words will, of course, mean nothing to the uninitiated, but to some it will convey much. And when it is noted that there will be found, coupled with these two attributes, the ability to see the dancing of the particles of heat and the waves of warm vibration, as it is called in the old manual, which those in training for this path employ. So, you know, there is a training period. It will be apparent that the effects of fire and the laws of fiery energy and vibration are here dealt with. So they can see the dancing of the particles of heat and the waves of warm vibration. You know, even on the path of magnetic work to manipulate matter, energy of all kinds and degrees, this type of ability to see would be indispensable. So, responsiveness to heat. So they know the frequencies of all things. The dancing, the particles of heat. They know the frequencies of all energies which they must manipulate. And they see these vibrations and these frequencies in demonstration. Okay. So, again, these words, well, they have a knowledge of heat, responsiveness to heat, and a knowledge of rhythm. And the rhythm, in this case, means frequency of vibration. Okay. These words will, of course, mean nothing to the uninitiated. You know, they have to mean something to the master. That's when we find the training for this, but to some it will convey much, and when it is noted that there will be found coupled with these two attributes an ability to see the dancing of the particles of heat and the waves of warm vibration, as it is called in an old manual, which those in training for this path employ, it will be apparent that the effects of fire and the laws of fiery energy and vibration are here dealt with. Now we are dealing with the transition to the path of absolute sonship. And what's interesting, the seventh approach, what's interesting here is he says later, not very much, later when speaking of the path of absolute sonship, he does not say much. But here, in relation to the path of magnetic work, he seems to say a great deal. So there's always here, what we find here, the ability to adjust frequency. We find the ability to respond to frequency and to adjust frequency, because what is heat but frequency, in a sense? The faster the vibration of matter, the greater the heat. So there must be a very great sensitivity here. We think about heat in relation to the astral plane. Well, what one thinks of great alchemists here, let's just say those on the path of absolute sonship must be great alchemists with respect to the solar system and with respect to any field of service to which they are called. Maybe, who knows, extra systemic. So one gets the sense of this kind of if one knows all the mathematical frequencies, one can adjust karma. It's all a question of the kinds of energies to which we are exposed and the kinds of aggregations which mathematically are due to come to us according to the law of attraction. So you have to be a great mathematician on this path, I would say, in the cosmic sense, and the training on the path of magnetic work of fifth ray monads will certainly prepare for this ability. Talk about being over our heads here, but you know, as I say, an attempt must be made. Those sons of men who at this time search for the heat of the love nature of the human unit, and who add to that that search a cultivation of a vivid imagination and an intense power to visualize, are laying the groundwork upon which this later knowledge may be superimposed. So he's giving us a link, you know, gives us a link from our present circumstances and activities to the much later activities found necessary on this path, the path of absolute sonship, I think. I mean, has he made the transition? But this is not the easy thing it sounds, for it involves an identification at present impossible to the majority. So this comes in under the second ray, coming in under the second ray, and the power to realize the nature of that which is visualized, which negates the idea of duality, that which visualizes and that which is visualized. So the visualization is a oneness and does not focus on or does not is not characterized by the realization of duality. So if we search for the heat of the love nature in the human unit, you know, finding the warmth of heart, and add to it a vivid imagination. So if nothing else, let's make these a little bigger. And to add to the search a cultivation of a vivid imagination, an intense power to visualize. So obviously there's something along the line of the creative imagination here, along the 2-4-6 line, because it is on that line that one has the best power to visualize. These then are laying the groundwork upon which the later knowledge may be superimposed. And so many things that we are doing right here and now are in some way that we cannot understand preparation for these coming paths of development. There is not a discontinuity between what we are now and what the coming paths of development will be. We have to realize there is a link, a kind of an antikarana, a kind of band of connecting energy between the most characteristic things we are doing now, in a spiritual sense, and the far more advanced spirituality of these paths. So, again, here, identification is required. Identification required, required just as on the first path. And a kind of identification in love, it looks like, because those who tread the path of magnetic work have this deep love energy and are much characterized by the second ray. So we cannot do this easily, and the power to realize the nature of that which is visualized. In other words, visualization becomes revelation, becomes revelation in synthesis. A revelation of that which is non-dual. A revelation of that which is non-dual. If we could simply achieve this non-duality, we would know the truth of the illusion of duality. So it negates the idea of duality and, I suppose, negates the experience of duality. So he's given us a method even now of preparing for this path and for this supreme kind of alchemy on the seventh cosmic approach to the center, which I think is the central spiritual sun. They are so sensitive to heat and cold, or heat to frequency, because the greater the frequency, the greater the heat. Although I suppose, you know, that's in the realm of fire by friction. Maybe there are intense frequencies unaccompanied by heat, and maybe when heat is divorced from moisture, that is possible. Moisture is a condition, an interatomic condition of cohesion, a type of cohesion which has to be broken, and a knowledge of rhythm. And, of course, the rhythm connected here has to do with the vibrations. And why the warm vibration that seems to be connected to the qualities of the heart and to the second ray. This seventh path, I think, does connect also with the second ray. This whole idea of being absolute sparks of parental love the second ray is definitely connected. We have to think of the Great Mother and the Great Father and of the Son. And in so many ways, the Ursa Minor, the Little Bear, is the Son of the Great Mother and the Great Father. All three of them characterized by a particular type of sevenfoldness. Okay. We haven't even reached the rays and the initiations yet, have we? Goodness. Okay. So these words will mean nothing to the uninitiated, but they will be able to see the dancing of the particles of heat and the waves of warm vibration so that they can manipulate all that will construct the circumstances below that will fulfill karma mathematically. They have to manipulate energy substance below and mathematically so as to fulfill the required karma. So, electric fire, the effects of fire and the laws of fiery energy and vibration are here dealt with. It's quite a curriculum, wouldn't you say? We think that what we are studying may be difficult. Just imagine what those upon such a path must study in order to prepare to function on such a path. It is, you know, utterly humbling to consider what lies ahead. It just puts things more in proportion. The method employed can only be expressed as entering of the burning ground. There's so many of them where various kinds of fires are encountered. There are so many burning grounds. The power to do this is gained through passing through the three preliminary burning grounds, as is easily seen. So again, what we do here below, so to speak, prepares for the superimposition of that which is resonant and lies above. Passing through the three preliminary burning grounds, sometimes we talk about Leo and sometimes Uranus as ruling the final burning ground. Uranus rules the final burning ground. At what level? Obviously, we're dealing now with passage onto the cosmic mental plane. Now, the Buddha never did that. He had a touch of the cosmic mental plane. And the Christ, I suppose, a touch or some kind of influence from the cosmic astral plane. Now we're actually talking as alchemized electric sparks, divorced from any adhesions which would prevent passage going to the cosmic mental plane. And there, of course, one can remain somehow later for service purposes in touch with one's original solar system. The solar angels go and return, and maybe there are others who go and return. Something of that was talked about in the first path. There was the passing away and then a coming back from the other side of the Golden Crest. But there had been an experience which allowed a fruitful, a return which would be fruitful in service. So, preparation is made through preliminary burning grounds and the burning ground which lies between the Hall of Ignorance and the Hall of Learning. So we have the outer three knowledge petals and the middle petals of love, and this is the destructive fire which man creates under the working of the law of karma. So it's burning away the obstacles to soul realization. And it takes us into the presence of the higher, of the pairs of opposites, which we cannot appreciate. In the hall of learning. No, we cannot appreciate, in the hall of ignorance. But in the hall of learning, we can begin to appreciate the higher of the pairs of opposites. So that's one of the preliminary burning grounds. And the petal of sacrifice exposes us to these fires. The petal of sacrifice of the knowledge tier exposes us to these fires in order to pass into the hall of learning from the outer court, the hall of ignorance. The burning ground of the dead personality, which lies between the hall of learning and the hall of wisdom. So the hall of wisdom relates to the sacrifice petals. Okay, sacrifice petals. And so does the initiatory process. So the personality, when the sixth petal petal is fully unfolded, then the personality is dead. That is the second initiation, or at least the astral body often, or the personality often, the astral body has relinquished its personal desires. And this is a form of death, because the personality so often expresses through the astral body. Personality and solar plexus are closely related. So it is found upon the shores of the river of life and has to be passed prior to the third initiation. So the hall of wisdom is consummated, well, in other words, the first consummation, the first real consummation of the hall of wisdom occurs when the three petals open entirely, the three sacrifice petals. So somehow, before in that transition from the hall of learning to the hall of wisdom, because there is an overlap, the petals of the hall of learning are still unfolding as the petals of the hall of wisdom are unfolding. So it's a dual process going on between the hall of learning and the hall of wisdom, and somehow before the complete unfoldment of the sacrifice petals, this burning ground has to be passed. It makes sense. Before the complete unfoldment of the sacrifice petals, this burning ground has to be passed. At the third degree, there is the ending of the ancient authority of the personality. So this is, it is now dead to its own promptings and is a sub-ray, S-B-R-Y, of the soul. So this is second burning ground. And of course, we have a burning ground in a way before the second initiation. He's not talking about that one. He seems to be talking about the burning ground before the third initiation. And the earlier one has not to do with initiation at all, really. It has to do with the possibility of becoming aware of a higher power, becoming perhaps an aspirant. The burning ground which is found when a man is ready to pass out of the hall of wisdom as a full adept. So he is in training for life as a planetary life and not simply a member of the kingdom of souls. The burning ground which is found when a man is ready to pass out of the hall of wisdom as a full adept. A full adept has achieved wisdom. A full adept has achieved wisdom and is now intent on the acquisition of life. It is a triple burning ground and is found upon the mountain top, being kept alive and flaming by all the winds of heaven. It is responsible for the destruction of the egoic or causal body. But what is an adept? You see, an adept is a fifth degree initiate. So something comes to me here. We do understand that the destruction of the causal body is a burning ground prior to release towards adeptship. But he is a full adept now, and he's ready to pass out of the Hall of Wisdom as a full adept, and before that, the causal body has been destroyed. I do wonder about the burning ground of the destruction of the, what am I calling it? You know, the atmic causal body? The atmic causal body. Or the atmic body of causes. Atmic body of causes. On the higher levels of the atmic plane. So there would be a triple burning ground on the higher levels of the atmic plane. It's a plane ruled by the number 3-2. There would be a triple burning ground on the higher levels of the atmic plane. This is a plane ruled by the number 3. It is the third plane. But he seems to be talking here about a burning ground really that is responsible for the destruction of the egoic lotus. It's a triple burning ground found upon the mountain top. Which mountain top? Being kept alive and flaming by all the winds of heaven. Well, we can look at that in two ways. The mountain top may refer to the third initiation, and the winds may come from the plane of air, which is the Buddhic plane, and has a great deal to do with the destruction of the causal body. So the air energy there is keeping alive a greater type of love. The air energy of the Buddhic plane keeps alive a greater type of love, which outgrows the causal body. So it is a triple burning ground, and it may have to do, you know, with the triple spiritual triad or with the three factors that have to be destroyed, the atomic triangle. There are a number of threes here which have to be destroyed. The threefold soul with its three main petals and the three members of the atomic triangle. But I don't want to leave out of this the full adeptship, which is achieved on the atmic plane. And yet, the destruction of the atmic body of causes would not occur until one was ready to become the full monad. So I have to say, and yet, Well, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to end this end of Cosmic Fire Webinar Commentaries 19B, Path of Higher Evolution Compilation, page 48, and beginning of Cosmic Fire Webinar Commentaries 19C, Paths of Higher Evolution Compilation, page 48.